Well, we're thinking this evening of this passage before us, Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. And with Boys Discovery Camp present with us this evening, I'm conscious your theme this week is people Jesus met. And so I want to look with you tonight at the occasion when Jesus met a boy with a packed lunch. When Jesus met a boy with a packed lunch. And hopefully you'll be able to see, I'm going to have the headings up for you if you're taking notes. And hopefully you should be able to see, if we're going to be working this evening, you should be able to see if the notes come up. There we go. Jesus and the boy with a packed lunch. It's the feeding of the 5,000. You could argue this was the most significant miracle Jesus ever performed, since it's the only one recorded in all four gospel accounts. It must therefore be very important. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John all record it. It's also the most public of all of his miracles. If you go through the gospels, you'll discover most of his miracles were performed for a tiny handful of people. But here is a miracle seen and experienced by thousands of people. Maybe some 25,000 people hear at this miracle. That's more than the capacity of Kingspan Stadium. Jesus feeding with this miracle. At this point in his ministry, he's experiencing enormous popularity. He's doing many wonders and miracles. People are all talking about this Jesus. Verse 14, earlier in the chapter, verse 14 tells us that his name has become known in the area. He's developed a reputation for wonderful things. Earlier in the chapter 2, he has sent out his 12 disciples. They're his representatives, and he sent them out to work for him. So the message of Jesus is multiplying and spreading. And our passage begins with these disciples coming back to Jesus to update him, to report on the work that they've done. They're tired and they're weary. It's a little bit like when the officers return home from camp, and they're tired and they're weary. And Jesus says to them in verse 31, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." That's a wonderful holiday verse, by the way. Come away to a quiet place, a desolate place, and rest a while. And so they leave the crowds, they go with Jesus, they drag their bodies into a boat, and they sail to the other side of Galilee for a rest. But what happens? Such is the fame of Jesus that the crowd have got there first. So imagine the officers of camp set up a holiday to take place. The week camp ends and off they go to France on holidays. And can you imagine when they get there, there's 30 boys from camp who are all in the same place where the officers are. Disaster! We can imagine the despair of the disciples. Oh, Jesus, they're all here, Jesus. We came here to get away from them. But that isn't what Jesus responds. That isn't his reaction. His reaction is so remarkable. And it's very appropriate for us as a congregation at the minute. We're 2 weeks into a series in Psalm 23. Here he is, standing out as a great shepherd. We want to work our way through these verses. We'll find Jesus, the good shepherd, meeting this boy with a packed lunch. And so the first point this evening is Jesus is a shepherd who cares. Jesus is a shepherd who cares. And there's a verse. Boys, if you want to write that verse down, you can do that. Jesus is a shepherd who cares. They arrive on the other side of Galilee and they meet a huge crowd of people, perhaps something as many as that kind of a crowd in the picture. Sinclair Ferguson suggests that these people, probably all dressed in white against a background of green grass, they might have even looked like a flock of sheep on this hill as they're coming. And Jesus says he had compassion on them because they're like sheep without a shepherd. Here's this crowd of people. They need someone to guide them. They're hungry and they're thirsty for spiritual nourishment. They're like poor wandering sheep, Jesus says. They're supposed to have shepherds. The teachers of the law in those days, the priests, they should have been their shepherds nourishing these people. The king of the day, Herod, he should have been a shepherd for these people. Not in the slightest. And Jesus, in marked contrast, stands and looks at these people and he has compassion on them spiritually and physically. He's the good shepherd. And this word compassion in verse 34, it's an intensely rich word. He had compassion on them. It's a word that's only ever used of Jesus in the New Testament. It's a word from which we get the word for our internal organs. In other words, he felt it in his gut when he looked on these people. His stomach churned for them. His stomach is tied in knots as he sees all of these helpless people in front of him. These thousands of immortal souls before him, helpless and on the road to ruin. And it touches Jesus in his heart. He's moved with compassion for them. We mustn't forget, friends, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And that's a great thing to know. Jesus, he's a shepherd this evening, and he's filled with compassion for lost, needy sheep like you and me. We're going to sing Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all of his creation. Compassion has on all that he has made. So I can say with great confidence this evening about every single one of you here, as Jesus looks on you from his throne in heaven, he has compassion for you. And he's moved deep within himself for you. And Christian friends, we need to ask ourselves, what do we know of this mind of Christ? Are we like him, tenderly concerned for the souls of the unconverted? As we see a picture of crowds of people, do we feel deep compassion for those who are like sheep without a shepherd? Do we care about the unbelievers near us and around us? You officers and cooks of camp this week, what do you know of this mind of Christ, this compassion he felt for the souls before him? Don't get so caught up with timetables and programs that you lose sight of these things. It's the same for us here, starting a Bible club tomorrow evening. What do we know of this mind of the Lord Jesus? The compassion he had for lost souls. In fact, the person who cares nothing for the souls of other people, they are not like Jesus Christ. They're not like Jesus. He's a shepherd who cares. His response goes further than that, of course. So let's look secondly. Jesus is a shepherd who provides. He provides. And he provides two things for this great crowd. First thing is truth. He provides truth. And this is from verse 34. He began to teach them many things. He saw these people in all of their need, and he addressed their greatest need first. They're hungry, yes, but he addressed their greatest need first, their need to know how to get right with God. Their greatest need wasn't food, the people on this hill. It was truth. And that's what we need to remember as we think of the thousands of lost souls around us in this land. Their greatest need isn't Brexit. Their greatest need isn't an Irish Language Act. Their greatest need isn't to get Stormont up and running again. Their greatest need isn't to maintain our laws on abortion and marriage. As important as some of those things are, their greatest need is none of those things. It's the truth of the gospel. And that's why at the very center of all we do as a church, we're holding out God's truth, because that's what people need. That's what's the main part of our Bible club each night this week. It's a thing we should be praying over and above everything else. The teaching of God's truth. That's what you boys need more than anything else at Boys Discovery Camp. The truth of the gospel. You want your officers to give you the truth of God's word. That's what Jesus provides, truth. But of course, he also provides food. He provides food. It's getting late. The disciples notice that people are getting hungry. And this is a desolate place, they say to Jesus. Now, so think somewhere like Dervock, Ballykelly. We're in a desolate place, the disciples say. How are we going to feed all of these people? They advise Jesus, let's just send them all home. Now, the crowd was massive. We're told at the end of the passage, 5,000 men, but with women and children, most scholars, commentators reckon as many as 25,000 people, maybe even more. To give them something to eat would have cost an enormous amount, but the disciples haven't reckoned on Jesus being the great shepherd. Jesus asks, well, how many loaves do you have between you? How many bits of bread do you have? John, in his account, tells us, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here, Jesus, a boy. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. So there's one boy in this massive crowd, and he's brought a packed lunch. Now, I think it's quite amazing that of such a crowd, only one mum had the sense to send a packed lunch with her boy. And that's all it was. It was his own packed lunch. Don't think when you read the word loaves, 5 loaves, don't think of your loaf of bread that you get from the shop with maybe, 20 slices in it. Don't think of a loaf like that. These are effectively baps, something not much bigger than the size of your fist. It's the food of the poor of the day. And Jesus takes this food from the poor boy, and he performs an unforgettable miracle. Fish literally means tiny fish here. So don't think of a massive plate of fish. Here's a young boy with 5 baps and 2 little fish. And we know what happens next. Jesus gives thanks for the food. He begins to break it up and hand it out to the disciples. And he keeps giving it to the disciples for them to spread it out. And he keeps giving it, and he keeps giving it, and he keeps giving it. We don't know how long it took. Must have taken an age. But he just keeps dishing out the food. And likewise with the fish. And boys, there's nobody who puts up their hand and says, well, sorry, I don't like fish. Do you have anything else, Jesus? No, none of that. None of that. And look at verse 42. They all ate and were satisfied. And this word satisfy, it means to fodder up an animal. So it means to kind of to stuff yourself. It's translated in the book of Revelation 19 verse 21 by the word gorged. So they were stuffed. They had loads to eat. They can't eat anymore. And then a very interesting thing, they pick up 12 baskets of leftovers. Not because Jesus is anti-litter, but I think he is. But to show that his provision is always abundant. He provides so much food. Jesus, our shepherd, is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. It's an amazing miracle. Do you think this boy would ever forget this miracle? Do you think he'd ever forget what Jesus did with his packed lunch? No, he would be talking about this right to when he's an old man and everyone would be like, we know the story. He'd be going on and on about it. Here he is. He's maybe 10, 11, 12 years old. And he's important to Jesus. And he's used wonderfully by Jesus. Never forget that, boys. Never forget that. Jesus is a shepherd who provides truth and food. And then the third thing this evening. He is a shepherd who delegates. He's a shepherd who delegates. And this word delegated simply means he asks people to do things. He gives them jobs to do. He delegates. It's interesting, every other miracle Jesus performs, he performs alone. Not this one. It's easy to miss his words in verse 37 when he says to the disciples, verse 37, you give them something to eat. He says to these men before him, you feed this enormous crowd. Now, why would he say that? Of course, the disciples couldn't feed them, not in their own strength. John, in his account, 6 verse 6, tells us Jesus was testing them. Was he testing them? Did he want to see if they would trust him? To perform a miracle, maybe. It seems more likely he wants his disciples to be hands-on in caring for this crowd. He wants them to be involved. When you think about it, Jesus, he could have fed this crowd in an altogether different way, couldn't he? He could have called down manna from heaven. God's done that before. He could have done that without a problem. He could have spoken the word and a loaf of bread would have miraculously appeared in everyone's hands. He could have done that. He could have called down angels and they could have taken the food from Jesus and they could have flown directly to each person, fed them in 30 seconds. Easy. People would have been equally amazed. They would have talked about that for the rest of their lives. Angels fed us bread, which Jesus multiplied. It was amazing. But that's not how Jesus did it. He used the disciples. He delegated the job to his disciples. Do you see? Jesus ministers to the need of the people around us through his disciples. He works through his disciples. The provision, it's ultimately from him, but it's ministered through the disciples. If you like, the disciples are the hands of Jesus in the feeding of the 5,000. And isn't this still the way he works? The way Jesus meets the need of a lost world is still through his disciples, through his people. And how encouraging that is for us. Here are a bunch of tired disciples. Weary, so busy, emotionally drained, ready for a holiday. And Jesus still uses them wonderfully. They have no resources of their own to feed all of these people. They have gathered together 5 baps, 2 fish. What are these among so many, they say. They were ridiculously lacking in resources. And yet Jesus used the meager resources to feed so many people. How often, friends, a need presents itself in the lives of those around us. We bring it to Jesus in prayer. You do something, Jesus often says. But Lord, we're not able to do anything. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough energy to begin to do anything. But when Jesus gets us involved, he already knows how he's going to work through us. A week of holiday Bible club. A week of boys' discovery camp. And the applications are obvious. We need what the disciples need. The knowledge that he will supply everything we need. We look around and we see overwhelming needs, even as a congregation, as a denomination. Overwhelming needs. Sheep without a shepherd. So many of them. We hear Jesus saying to us this evening, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Who am I, we say? What can we give? We have so very little, Jesus. We don't have many abilities between us. We're not very confident in ourselves. We don't have many great gifts. As a church, as a denomination, we're pretty small, rather insignificant. We don't have many resources, Jesus. He asks us, how many loaves do you have? Not many, Lord. Give them to me, he says. You see, when we give him our insufficient resources, our small abilities, he's able to do more than we can ask or even think. And you know what? He gives enough. He gives enough so that each of the disciples is able to gather a basket full of leftovers. 12 baskets, one for each. Do you notice that? After their service, each of the disciples gather a whole basket of God's provision. Isn't that so often the case in our service to the Lord Jesus? We get so much in return. We receive so much blessing, so much provision ourselves, more than we ever expected. Giving a week of your holidays to serve as an officer or cook at camp. Have you ever regretted it? Have you ever gone home afterwards thinking, well, that was a total waste of time. What a week. What a silly use of my time. Not in the slightest. You've gone home with your own basket of leftovers. He's blessed you so much. Giving yourself to serve at a week of Bible club, it's exactly the same. We will never regret our service to the Lord Jesus. What an impression must have been made on the crowd that day. What a miracle. Who is this Jesus? They're asking. And they learn in this miracle, he's the good shepherd of the people. He's the good shepherd. He would one day lay down his life for them. He's the shepherd who makes us lie down in green pastures. Maybe Mark was thinking of that when he writes verse 39. He states the obvious very much in verse 39. Mark's a vivid writer, very graphic. Verse 39, then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. The green grass. Is Mark thinking of Psalm 23? I can't help but think that perhaps some of those Jesus fed that day, as they went on their way home, their bellies full, maybe they were singing the words of Psalm 23 with new meaning in their hearts. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Amen.